"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? It's estimated over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. To save, visit HealthLock.com today.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Tomorrow we'll bring back the Moist Line, but Monday in the 5 o'clock hour, the hour of candidates. So if you are running for any office, you know somebody that is, you tell them to call our toll-free number Monday at 5 p.m., and you get 30 seconds. I've been told we're not going to take anybody running for judge positions. Is that how we judge that?
I don't know. I didn't make any rules.
No, I know. The
things that are too tiny.
Tiny. Well, city council, you mean, like a local town? That's too low?
I don't know. We'll just make it up as we go along.
We'll see what comes.
Whatever we feel like.
I mean, we're not screening. Whoever is screening can decide.
There's no money being wagered, so.
Worthy. In 1 hour, Rick Caruso will be our guest. He's running for something, I think. The mayor of L.A. to replace Garcetti. How do you fill those shoes? That should be the first question. How could you possibly step into that after that legacy?
I don't know how you can't do better. I can't imagine doing worse.
You're a naysayer. It's been a wonderful 9 years of Garcetti. It has, right. 9 years.
Can you think
you got the 5-year term.
Can you name one thing that's better in Los Angeles?
That's a good question. And I can't.
No.
So
can
sorry.
Can anybody?
One thing that's better. Is there a deli that opened that I like, maybe?
No. No, delis closed all over the place.
Yeah, they did that. I'm so grateful Langer's is still there.
I've got nowhere to eat driving to work anymore.
Oh, that's right. No. What about the deli where Robert Blake used to hang out? Is that gone? You used to see Robert Blake at some sort of...
Yes, that's still there.
That he's still alive, right? Is Robert Blake?
Yes, he is. I think he's around 90.
Okay. I remember you mentioning that on the air one day. Robert Blake goes there and sits there.
Yeah, I saw him standing on the sidewalk smoking a cigarette a few years back.
Looking, and he's still alive.
Looking old and gray and grizzled.
Looking at the press release, it is true. Next hour, Joe Biden arrives in San Diego, and guess who's going to be there to greet him? Dippity-doo, Gavin Newsom. The reason I'm mentioning this is he was not there when Biden came to California a couple weeks ago. Remember, he campaigned for Karen Bass? Garcetti came, greeted him when he arrived at LAX.
Yeah, because Caruso doesn't want to be part of a Bass campaign. He's neutral in the mayor's race. So I think that was the reason.
Were you listening to me? I don't know what you just said. I said Newsom did not show up.
Right, because Newsom is neutral in the race for L.A. mayor.
Well, I was going to talk about that. Most people don't know that. You just kind of skipped ahead.
No, but I think that's why he didn't show up. That was a Karen
Bass. Because Bass was there?
Yeah, well, it kind of was a Karen Bass event.
All right. Well, there are other rumors that that he's trying to nudge Biden out of the way. And
well,
acting like he should be the new speaker of the party because there's a vacuum. We just played the audio yesterday. Newsom thinks they're all too timid. We got to go on the offensive. And he thinks Biden's part of the old guard. He's a nice guy, but he's part of the old guard. We need to be.
Yeah.
But you're right. There's a story at Politico that Newsom is not doing anything about the mayor's race. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, and former President Barack Obama have all made appearances and endorsed Karen Bass. Why not Newsom? And I didn't know this. Apparently, they know each other, and Caruso has actually donated to Newsom campaigns.
Caruso knows everybody in politics, and he's donated to everybody in politics. Because you have to when you're a major developer.
Don't you have to bribe people, too?
It's just the way
business is. Should we ask him if he's done that?
Huh?
You bribe people, too. What do you think's been going on with the L.A. City corruption cases? It's all developers. Paying off Jose Huizar and Mitch Englander.
No, actually, Karen Bass made that insinuation, and Caruso called her on it.
She did?
Yes, and Caruso said, do you think I've done that? And she had to back down and say, no, Rick, I know you haven't done that.
That was a good try, though.
Yeah, but she was a coward about it. She tried to backdoor it into the conversation and just make an insinuation and by association. And he said, are you accusing me of that? And she backed off. I enjoyed that moment. I hate that weasel stuff. If you accuse somebody, say it right to their face in clear language.
Yeah, he gave $60,000 to Newsom's 2018 gubernatorial campaign, donated $500,000 to California's COVID-19 response fund at the governor's behest. Oh, that's the one where a lot of people that donated to that got contracts from the state. We talked about that story. Also, Karen Bass in 2018 endorsed Tony Villar for governor over Newsom. How did that go?
There you go. Well, doesn't that tell you, though, from what political family she's from? Who are her buddies?
He's an L.A. guy like she is.
Villaraigosa. Right?
Newsom's a Sacramento, Northern California guy.
Yeah, but he's a business guy, and so you got to donate to all the politicians. But her, she's connected with Villaraigosa. He's a loser. Connected with Bonin, loser. Connected with Gascon, loser. Look at the political belief system of this.
Let's hope she's a loser one more time. Here.
I know. There isn't a single person I think who can make the case that she would clean up L.A. more effectively than Caruso. I can't imagine anyone making that case.
There's no case to be made.
No.
I like that ad he's running where she's already admitted, oh, we can't get the homeless crisis solved in 4 years. Yeah.
And you know what that reminds me of?
4 years!
That reminds me of Garcetti. Garcetti had this defeatist attitude, especially the last couple of years. In that LA Magazine article, Garcetti said something to the effect of, it's like, well, you know, this is something beyond what a mayor could do. And just blamed everybody else, all other levels of government. And I go, well, you read that's the thinking of a loser. And then this new article today in the, what was it, in a Substack article by Peter Savodnik about the mayor's race and about all the Hollywood support that Caruso has. And in this case, somebody said Garcetti was afraid of pissing anybody off. And he ended up pissing everybody off. And I was at a gathering the other night, and I was talking to a guy who I've talked to before over the years. He's one of these secret informants. And he knows Garcetti pretty well. And he's had to do city business with Garcetti in recent years. And he said, he knows him well enough to call him Eric. He goes, Eric's problem is the job was too much for him. And he got tired of it. Wasn't interested anymore.
Yeah.
And so that's, and of course he's acted like that, especially the last couple of years. It's like,
oh, he checked out.
Yeah, he checked out. He goes, he just doesn't care.
He ran
anymore.
For president, that flopped, and he just gave up with everything.
Yeah, he wasn't a guy who got in the business to try to make life better for people. He's a guy who got in the business in order to gain a certain level of stature.
Yeah, keep moving up in the business.
Right. And so once his presidential race fizzled, and there are no openings for governor, there's no openings for Senate, what's he going to do? Oh, and then the India ambassadorship fell apart?
Right.
So he's probably in a huge depression because he was this coddled little pretty boy who was destined for great things, you know, all the elite education and all the overseas trips.
Oh, and a powerful daddy who was the DA of L.A. County.
Right, and so now, you know, he's
still, I'm on the fast track.
He's still pretty young, you know. I think he's only around 50 or so.
He's 53, I think. 52.
And so he's really young, and his career is over, and he's going out of laughingstock, going out a loser. I mean, people wouldn't even say his name. They just spit. You bring up Garcetti, they spit on the ground.
All right, we will have Rick Caruso on the show at 5:05. Your chance for some money is next. Listen for the keyword. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark.
What was that?
Deborah Mark.
Wow. My act disgusting.
She's got the news.
And isn't that typical of the world today? A World Series no-hitter, but it was by how many different pitchers together?
Four.
Sad.
Yeah.
We all have to share.
Well, it would have been too hard to pitch more than six innings.
Oh, really?
Yes. Then his
ever see Bob Gibson? Used to pitch games in 1 hour and 48 minutes. Started so many games a year. The old days.
Right. Well, he was tired. He needed some rest.
Oh, last night's starter?
No. I mean, it's the managers. You know, they're statistical.
That's the way they manage the game now. Right. Exactly right.
They got 15
statistics. I'm going to figure out exactly with an algorithm which one of my relievers will work best against a scheduled hitter. And if they change hitters, I'll just change pitchers. And this will take another hour.
Well, what I really enjoyed last night.
What a time did I tune in? I'm like, this game cannot be under 3 hours. Let's see it. It was not.
No.
A no-hitter that was not under
3 hours and 25 minutes.
A no-hitter.
And it was a no-hitter, yeah. That would have been an hour 25 years ago. But, well, you know what was funny is I heard the announcers talking about this on the drive home. So the Phillies pitcher loaded the bases. I think this was fourth, fifth inning.
That's the only thing I watched. I saw the run score for the Astros.
That's right. Yeah. But so what they did
is it was funny. I came back an hour later. It's the same score. I haven't missed anything.
They brought in their best reliever in the fifth inning, right? Their best reliever throws 99 miles an hour.
Oh, he bopped the guy.
He was going to face the third, fourth, and fifth hitters, the toughest hitters in the Astros lineup, right? And so that's what the algorithm says, right?
Yes.
You don't let the starting pitcher stay in. You got to get your best reliever. Best reliever comes in and gives up five runs.
I think he hit the first guy he faced.
He hit the first batter, and then a bunch of guys got hits, and the game was over.
That's because human beings can't be predicted by algorithms. You have a performance over time that is what's in the computer, but on that particular night, how do you know what you're getting?
You don't know. He might have been up to four in the morning with an escort, could have had a bad burrito for lunch. I mean, you don't know.
The eye test is always right.
I can't believe, well, you know this, the Dodgers do this every year.
Oh, my goodness. They script it out.
Yeah, they pull out pitchers who are blazing along in fourth or fifth inning. It's like, oh, we've got to pull them out.
Kershaw almost had two perfect games this year, and he got pulled from them.
Yeah. So
they don't want to tire him out for the end of the season. They need them for the playoffs.
And look at what happened.
How come they don't win championships?
I don't know. Everything's overthought today. The husband of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Paul Pelosi, has been released from the hospital. He is home recovering. Now, along the lines of security, because John was talking about this yesterday, NBC News did a story about, actually the title of it is After Home Assault on Paul Pelosi, Lawmakers Scramble to Reassess Security. The attack on Paul does strongly suggest that the most visible spouses need some protection. But the guy wasn't there to attack Paul Pelosi. He was waiting for Nancy. And because the cops came and he was in a suicide mission, I don't know, it was all he was holding on to the hammer with Pelosi. He just said, well, I guess the only thing I could do here to cause any damage at all is to bop him in the head. It's really all it came down to.
Yeah. It's an unpredictable world, but you live in San Francisco and you're a high-profile person, and you're worth $120 million, that's on you to protect yourself. It's not up to the Capitol Police in Washington. I mean, seriously. You think some slob working at, it would be 5 in the morning, right? Yeah. This happened about 2 in the morning in San Francisco. Somebody at 5 in the morning who's got 1,800 screens to monitor, he's going to zero in on the weird guy creeping him behind
An algorithm that raises an alarm when something unusual is happening on any of the monitors, right? And it goes beep, 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 beep.
Yeah.
Look at this one. No?
You probably should. They should have had some electronic security where he crossed an invisible line and beep, 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 beep.
Well, it says here there was a system rolled out by the House Sergeant-at-Arms office in August. Clearly, after the January 6th, 2021 thing at the Capitol, they were doing everything they could. It covers up to $10,000 for each member to pay for the installation of security system equipment at their residences, including cameras, locks, motion sensors, and panic buttons. You can also get $150 per month towards monitoring and maintenance fees. So I guess they were relying just on the system that was installed from the Capitol to watch over her house. They didn't have anything,
well,
I guess, to back that up at the Pelosi house.
So, right. It didn't stop a guy at the Pelosi house from busting in with a hammer.
Yeah, one House Democratic lawmaker said, I haven't used the program, but my friends are encouraging me to hire my own private detail. And, you know, you have to assess your own threat level. You're right. I mean, they're talking about Pelosi obviously gets more threats than your average congressperson.
But she has to be, or her husband has to be, fearful enough to spend the money to either take up the government offer, whatever it is, or take care of it themselves, which obviously they could.
Right.
So I don't know what to say. I mean, there's plenty of people who get a lot of threats, and it's like, just, you know, crazy guys in their underwear in mom's basement. And there are other people who completely freak out if somebody looks at them the wrong way on the street.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's got a different level of tolerance for fear and paranoia.
When we come back, we'll talk for a couple of minutes about the suspect in the beating of Paul Pelosi. Yes, he is indeed an illegal alien. We have a little more information as to how all that happened. And we'll also talk about a survey out of UC Davis about just how ugly it can get in this country over politics. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
If your bath is worn out, but you're not sure who to trust to replace it, trust Bathfitter. We've been custom crafting baths for over 35 years that are so durable, we offer a lifetime warranty. It just fits. Visit bathfitter.com to book your free consultation.
In 30 minutes, guess what, John?
We've got Rick Caruso coming in.
Your friend.
That's right.
Well, you've known kind of for years, right?
Oh, yeah, probably about 20 years, yeah.
Oh, all right. He's not interested in you in a development?
Interested in what?
Making you invest in some property.
No, he doesn't need my help.
He is, of course, running for mayor.
I guess the Times did a
story on his father today. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Like a front page story on his father who apparently had to serve some prison time.
Yeah.
It was like a car dealer, was it?
I think yeah. So. Yeah. Like 60 years ago.
Yeah.
He had a little legal issue over the cars he was selling and the prices.
All right. So we'll talk one last time to Rick Caruso ahead of Tuesday's vote. We have a voter guide on the website. I don't think you're going to expect much Tuesday night with all the mail-ins now. I don't think there's really much to say the night of an election. I really don't understand.
No, especially in California.
Unless things are runaways, some races will be. I'm sure Newsom will be declared governor at 8:01.
And the ballot harvesters will be toiling in the fields.
So, but for anything close, which the mayor's race could be, it could take days or weeks.
Growing new phony ballots. I drove down the freeway. I saw a field of phony ballots being tended to by the harvesters.
Is that right?
That's right, yeah. They grow them now in public. They're like those illegal marijuana farms.
Almost ready to be picked?
Almost ready to be picked. They should ripen, I guess by Tuesday morning.
Is that right?
And then they'll be picked and rushed over to the...
I like the way the word harvest got taken for ballots and organs to organ harvesters.
Organ harvests, ballot harvests, yeah. Yeah, they're growing organs on the side of the freeway, too.
Oh, could you get me a kidney? I might need one.
Kidney farms, liver farms.
David DePape, the man charged with hammering Paul Pelosi. Boy, somebody sent a bad joke to us. That's the second time this year that Pelosi's been hammered. That is just not nice.
What was the first time?
The drunk driving again.
Oh, Paul Pelosi. I got it, yeah.
Yeah, Paul Pelosi.
Yeah, I don't know. The attack on Pelosi has not gotten sympathy in all quarters, I've noticed.
Well, because it's political. People that hate Nancy Pelosi are not going to show any sympathy
to
anything that happens to her or her family.
But it's a hammer to the skull. I mean, I could, you know, it's like I feel
even you
that.
Feel a tinge of sympathy.
I could feel that pain. Can you imagine a hammer to the skull?
And you're 82. Your skull could be very soft.
And you wave it by, but the force of a crazy guy, too.
I don't even know if it was one hit or two or three or we don't know, huh?
I think it sounded like one, but all the information is so bad. It was like one, and he started bleeding and dropped unconscious to the floor right away.
Yeah.
I think that's all you'd need.
So records pulled by Immigration and Customs Enforcement found that this guy entered the U.S. as a temporary visitor in March of 2008 at the San Ysidro Port of Entry. Huh? But he came from Canada. What was he doing down there in San Diego? I don't know.
I don't know.
He came through Mexico, too. But he did get a visa. However, you generally only can stay for 6 months. How many years ago? It was 2008.
Yeah. So he overstayed his visa by 14 years.
Yes. So officially,
nice system.
ICE put an immigration detainer on him. So allegedly, after he is convicted and serves his time, he can be deported. But aren't we a sanctuary state? Aren't we going to prevent it? Because
well,
he did his time.
It does seem to violate the sanctuary city.
State.
Yeah, the sanctuary state laws, although he is facing federal charges. So maybe the feds have taken over that angle.
Oh, that's true. I don't know which case would come up first and how this is going to work. You're right. He's facing federal and state charges and will
yeah,
be tried
and,
for
and
both.
You know, he'll get deported after he finishes his prison sentence, which might not be for a while.
Now, right. A columnist today for the El Segundo Times that we've enjoyed for all 150 years he's been writing, George Skelton, their Capital Journal columnist. No, seriously, I think he started writing in the 50s for them. Am I right?
He's at least 84. I went looking not too long ago to try to figure out his age.
I did that too.
Yeah.
He wrote about a UC Davis study, and the first sentence of his column today is eye-opening. Roughly 5 million Americans would be willing to kill someone to achieve a political purpose.
Well, that's...
We talked about these polls before. I don't know why this one, I guess it's just UC Davis's latest. But
it was described as eye-popping.
Eye-popping!
Eye-popping!
Yeah, so there are roughly 258 million adult Americans. That means roughly 5 million people are willing to settle a political dispute by killing their opponents. It was 19% who agreed strongly that violence or force is needed to protect democracy when elected leaders will not. So it's a broad statement to interpret it immediately as they're willing to kill their opponents.
Well, no, I think 2% were willing to do it themselves.
Oh, okay.
19% like the concept. 2% are saying, if you need me, I got the hammer.
I get... Well, how come we're not looking at hammer control then?
Oh, we should.
I mean,
look.
There's a lot of hammers out there.
Yeah.
Every household has several hammers,
yeah.
I'm sure.
I know.
We ought to be looking into that.
But no, I believe that. I believe probably 2%.
Oh, 2%, yeah. Oh, I misread that. I thought the 19% was supposed to. Oh, you're right. Roughly 2% of those surveyed said they would very or completely be willing to kill someone to advance an important political objective.
And the other
Well, there's 2% of anything.
Right. It's probably always been that way.
No matter what wacky question you ask, there's always a 2% that'll give the crazy answer.
Well, you
answer.
See, there's no context.
19% scared me a little bit more, but yeah, you're right. That was a broader statement.
Those are the guys who will cheer from their trailers.
Oh, I see.
So now, is the 2% different than life 30 years ago or 60 years ago? See, there's no context here.
Probably not.
Because I remember
2% is really almost within the margin of error, too. I realize that 2% is a real number. If 2% of all the people surveyed said they'd be willing to kill someone, well, that's real. But
I mean, because I remember back in the 90s, remember the militia movement, which is a similar philosophy.
It is, yeah.
And I'm sure there was 2% back then.
Yeah,
and that did produce a few lone wolf types, like Timothy McVeigh, and he blew up the Oklahoma City bombing. Oklahoma City federal building.
This is not hard to understand when you put it in the perspective of how this country is where it is today. It took violence to get our independence from the British. So
it's human nature.
I mean, that's kind of ingrained in our DNA. Exactly. It's our nature that, you know, sometimes you have to rebel.
It seems to be a lot of the journalists, all the goody-good journalists, you know, they're very progressive. They think somehow by now that there should have been some sort of human engineering to get the violence out of us.
Right.
And that's impossible. That'll never go away. In fact, the best way to limit the violence is to have severe consequences. But this crowd threw out that option, and they're going to be shocked and amazed that they're going to get more. They're going to get more violence. Because, you know, what's the... Now, see, this guy, at least... DePappy, he's going to be thrown in prison for a long time, right? Gets arrested immediately. There's no
bail. The federal case, I hope.
The federal case.
He's state case, I'm not so confident about.
That's right. I mean, but at least, you know, it's in San Francisco, but they got a new DA there, so you might be a little tougher.
And it's a state prosecution, even though she's filed the charges.
The thing is, if there weren't swift, severe consequences for a guy like DePape, then, yeah, there would be more attacks on more politicians. And you'd probably have some deaths. So this is an important case. This guy should be very quickly and severely punished. I mean, he should be treated like a murderer because, you know, just because he didn't quite hit Pelosi's skull hard enough, it came really close to a murder. I think he should be treated as if he was a killer. He ought to get life in prison.
And Skelton likes to point out, too, that of the MAGA Republicans surveyed, let's make America great again, 27% strongly agree that the government, media, and financial worlds in the U.S. are controlled by a group of Satan-worshipping pedophiles who run a global child sex trafficking operation.
27%?
Of the MAGA Republicans surveyed, yes.
That's different from other Republicans, I guess?
I think it is, yeah.
I see.
I think they identify differently within the party.
I guess these would be Trump people or...
Yes, QAnon people.
27% actually believe in that QAnon thing.
27% you know, of that subgroup, yes.
I was thinking today.
That's
if
dangerous.
I have a minute. No, I wasn't quite shower thinking, but I saw a headline and I saved this story. I haven't read it yet, though. I just haven't had the time. But there was a story about how, yeah, here it is, how the QAnon belief system, because it's organized like a religion, and it seems to have roots in New Age spirituality. And that's just a headline. Unexpected roots in New Age spirituality for QAnon. And I'm thinking, well, New Age spirituality came out of people who were rejecting traditional religions, right? The traditional religions were around for a few thousand years, but they seemed to be fading in America. Not as influential, right? You know, and then people lived for thousands of years even before Christianity and Judaism.
Sure.
And all that. All right, so it had its day for a couple of thousand years here in America. Now it's gone. What's it getting replaced by? Well, it's got replaced to some extent by New Age spirituality. This global warming obsession is a form of earth worship.
Right.
You know, like in ancient times, civilizations used to try to appease the sun god and the moon god and the nature god, right? And then eventually they were going to pour that energy into political movements. And so now you have QAnon, and QAnon apparently has some overlapping similarities to New Age spirituality. I haven't read the article to see exactly what the details are, but it seems like the human being has to get involved in some kind of organized worship, some kind of organized belief. And we were just all trained. It's like, oh, well, you're either Protestant or Catholic or Jewish or Muslim or whatever. But it doesn't have to stay that way. You could take that same need to be part of something greater, something to worship, and then channel it into all kinds of stuff. Some people do it with celebrities, right? Some people do it with politicians and political movements, and some people do it, you know, with things like QAnon or global warming worship.
And I think it goes back to the need that people have to sort of organize the world, simplify the world, and generalize so that they have something that they can make sense out of.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's how they organize their existence based on these tenets that they believe.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. One last time before you vote, don't forget there's a voter guide that we put up on the website, seemed like ages ago. Check it out at KFIAM640.com, the John and Ken page. This week, the United States Supreme Court heard a couple of cases concerning affirmative action when it comes to racial preferences in college admissions. These are cases out of Harvard and the University of North Carolina. The Harvard case was brought by like an Asian student group who felt that Asians were getting the short shrift in Harvard admissions because of the need to diversify the student body. YouGov asked people in a poll, do you think colleges and universities should ever consider an applicant's race along with other factors? 54% a solid no. Only 23% said yes. There was a small element, an equal element, 23%, not sure of the answer.
They've never heard of affirmative action. They don't know what it means.
No, but the question was clear. It didn't ask about affirmative action. It said, should colleges and universities ever consider an applicant's race along with other factors? That was the question that was posed. So that's a simple question, and 23% still aren't sure. I don't know why they're not sure, but there's always people on the fence.
Well, yeah. People have just never thought about it.
Even among Democrats, it was only 40-34 with a yes for that question. That's close.
Well,
overwhelmingly independents and obviously Republicans are against considering it.
Yeah, well, I don't think any parent feels really great about it, because if you know that that's going on, it means your kid's going to be disadvantaged in some way.
If your kid is not considered a preferred race that they want
right.
for admissions.
But there's a hierarchy to that, too, as we found out. That's the whole crux of the Harvard lawsuit, is that Asians, their standardized test scores have to be far higher than a black student's test scores. And that's why the Asian groups are suing over that.
I guess the cliche still holds. You should not fight what you think is discrimination with more discrimination. That's what people have been saying this week.
Just go by the merit.
And we see the test scores all the time. Yes, there are gaps between the racial groups. But the answer isn't just, well, when they get to the college level, let's just ignore, you know, the academic gaps. And to diversify the student body, just admit more people from different races. For no reason, they don't have the qualifications, but we just want a nice, diverse student body.
Well, I have never heard a convincing argument as to why diversity matters in making a place better. I can only make a really great argument that if everyone hired is the best available employee, then you could see how if you multiply the work of dozens or hundreds of the best, that you're going to get a superior product, a company, service, whatever, right?
Right.
But if you're going to just go by eye color, skin color, last name, ethnic heritage, how are you possibly going to have a competitive company in any field? I mean, then you might as well just pick names at random out of a hat.
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand the premise. I never will. It's not something that works, really.
They ask people, does everyone in the U.S., regardless of their race, have an equal opportunity for education? And half the people said yes. Only 36% said no. But when you dig down into the political affiliations, clearly the Democrats, 52% said no, 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 no. But, you know, independence is where it's always worth looking. And only 34% said no. 44% said it's pretty close to the overall number.
Well, you know,
that we do have an
if you've
equal
got the goods,
opportunity for education.
I just disagree. If you've really got the goods, then you're going to get hired, you're going to get accepted, you're going to do well, and there's literally millions of examples in America of people from every possible race and ethnicity. You name the demographic box, right?
Right.
There's millions of people who've succeeded really well on their own merits because they had the skills, developed their talents, they had the education, the natural brains, the IQ, whatever it is. All right, and those people are going to beat the loser companies who value other stuff. They just will.
All right, coming up next,
the law of physics.
Our guest will be the LA mayoral candidate Rick Caruso. One more time before the election on Tuesday. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.